See all of you this morning. Glad you are here. The Lord is glad you're here. And want to extend a warm welcome to all of our guests as well. We hope you'll be our guest every opportunity you can be with us. And if you would, if you haven't already, filled out the card from the pew back in front of you. And you can actually turn that into our connection center in the foyer, with the glass doors. Turn into our connection center. They'll give you a gift on your way out. That's our gift to you. And again, be our guest every opportunity you can be with us. Potluck right after services today. I brought my stretchy pants, so looking forward to that. And a lot of good cooks here. It's always a privilege to be able to share a meal with our brothers and sisters as well. And then immediately following potluck is our gate ministry meeting. Our guest assimilation and integration team meeting is going to be taking place after the potluck. And so you can come, have lunch, and then right after we'll discuss how we're rebooting and relaunching our greeters ministry. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And as you're turning there, let me just remind you of some things that we've talked about in the past. Just kind of refresh our minds, or if you haven't been here, maybe bring you up to speed on a couple of things. Earlier this year, we talked about how we are more than material machines. We are more than physical animals. We do have a physical body, but we believe, and we showed this from the Bible, that we also have a soul. We are spiritual beings as well. We talked last week about what happens when our physical body gives out, when we die, and our spiritual being, what happens there? Well, there is continued existence. We saw that from the Bible. Our soul, our spirit lives on and goes to this place. In the Old Testament, it's called Sheol. In the New Testament, it's called Hades. It's just the unseen realm of disembodied spirits, kind of like the waiting room. Well, we're waiting for Jesus to come back, and we're waiting for all of the events, all of the activities that are going to take place when Jesus comes back, like the resurrection and like the judgment and all those things. And so that brings us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and also the first part of chapter 5. I want us to pick up the reading in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another, and build one another up, just as you are doing. Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word. And also, as we dig into this text, I pray that you would enlighten the eyes of our hearts to understand what you have in store for us when Jesus comes back. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. A couple of years ago, at the 2016 Olympics, there was a story about two Egyptian wrestlers who had to forfeit their championship matches because they didn't show up on time. Apparently, during that last week of the Olympics, all wrestling during the week started at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But on the last day of the Olympics, that last Sunday, the day that Abdu Omar Abdu Ahmed and Saleh Emera were to wrestle in their 66-kilogram and 96-kilogram matches respectively, that day wrestling started at 8:30 in the morning, because they had the closing ceremonies that night. Naturally, the whole Egyptian team was upset over this ordeal. One of the wrestlers even hit his knees in tears over what had happened. But you need to know that before you go writing a hotly worded letter to the International Olympic Committee about this, you should know that the schedules for wrestling had been posted for months in advance. The schedule had been posted saying that wrestling would start every day during the week at 1 o'clock, but that Sunday it would start early because of the closing ceremonies. And so this got me thinking about how many people are going to miss out on heaven because they've not checked the schedule. For 2,000 years, information concerning the fact that Jesus is coming back one day to take people with him to eternity for glory has been available in the Bible. But much like these two Egyptian wrestlers, for whatever reason, there are those who are going to miss their opportunity for glory. In John 14 and verse 3, Jesus said he was going to prepare a place for us, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus will come again. Jesus is coming back. So how can we prepare ourselves for that final coming of Jesus? That's what Paul is addressing here in 1 Thessalonians chapters 4 and 5. Paul is giving instructions to Christians in Thessalonica concerning how they can be prepared for Jesus' final coming, for when he comes back. And this information is still applicable to us today because we too, like the Thessalonians, are waiting for Jesus to come back. It begins with the principle there in chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, that the state of the Christian dead is no cause for grief. We talked about this last week, that many Christians, unfortunately, are scared to death of death, but the righteous have nothing to fear. They're just gathered to their people. And this is what Paul is impressing upon these Christians in Thessalonica who are worried. They have similar concerns, just as people today have concerns about their relatives who pass on before them. Verse 13, he says, look, I don't want you to be uninformed about those who've fallen asleep. I don't want you grieving as others do. That's people who are not Christians, people who do not have the Christian hope. I don't want you grieving as those who have no hope. You see, just like some today, the Thessalonian Christians had questions like, well, what about my mama? What about my daddy? What about my auntie? What about my grandma or my grandpa who died in the Lord? What about them? And so Paul, he's going to put their hearts, their Christian hearts, and ours as well, at ease about our Christian hope. And he says in verses 14 and 15, he says, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." And fallen asleep is Paul's way here of talking about death, because that's what a dead body looks like. It looks like they're just asleep, peacefully asleep. "For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord." So this is coming straight from on high, from God Himself, "that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep." He begins by showing us that our freedom from anxiety and worry about the afterlife is rooted in the historical fact of Jesus' death and resurrection. That's where he begins with this. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the guarantee of the Christian hope. And so we have nothing to fear when it comes to your mama, your daddy, your auntie, your grandma, your grandpa, whoever it is who died in the Lord, who has fallen asleep and has preceded you in death. God, just like we talked about last week, God has not abandoned them to Sheol or to Hades, but rather God will bring them when he sends Jesus, when Jesus comes back. In fact, what is it he says here? They will not precede those who have fallen asleep. According to God's word, they go first. It's kind of like at the grocery store. Death puts you in the express lane with 10 items or less, right? That's what's going on here. They're going first. They're going ahead of you. And so based on that principle that Christ died but was raised from the dead, so too we have this hope, this glorious hope of spending eternity with God. He goes on to deal with the promise, the Christian promise that Jesus is coming back for us and our Christian family. That's verses 16 through 18. And it begins with that statement here in verse 16. "The Lord Himself will descend from heaven." He's going to return. He's coming back. Just as, remember in the book of Acts chapter 1, how that story, that book opens up with the account when Jesus had been raised from the dead and he appears to his disciples and they have a little brief little conversation. But remember, it was a cloud that came and took him away. He began to go up into the air. And you remember what the angel said about it? Verse 11, chapter 1 of Acts, he said, "This Jesus whom you've watched go into heaven, he's coming back in the same way he left." He's coming back, and it will be none other than the Lord Himself. That's what Paul says here. He will come at the end of time, and He will begin this whole process of the hereafter. Notice, by the way, this is not a silent rapture. You may run across that in certain Christian literature and Christian fiction. Tim LaHaye kind of popularized this idea that planes are going to fall out of the sky because Christian pilots are taken away and driverless cars are going to crash and all this stuff because Christians are being taken out of the world. That's not what's going on here. Everybody's going to know that this happens because you're going to have the cry of command. This is it's an authoritative utterance. Think drill instructor. Ten hut! Right? That's the idea here. It's the cry of command. It's the voice of the archangel. Which archangel isn't specified, but he's going to come and yell something out. He's a messenger signaling the end of all time, of everything. And it also comes with the trumpet of the Lord. Trumpets were used during times of festivity and times of triumph. And all this stuff is intended to communicate that everyone's going to know when the end has come. No one's going to be standing around going, "Hey, what happened right now? All the Christians are gone." No, everybody's going to know because this is Jesus and it's the final return. And also it points to the majesty and the honor that are due the Lord. You got the cry of command. You got the archangel saying stuff. You've got the trumpet of God sounding. Just the majesty and the honor as the Lord Himself returns. On top of that, you do have a resurrection. The rest of the verse says, "The dead in Christ will rise first." We're going to talk a lot more about the resurrection next week, but suffice it to say that when Jesus comes back, your spirit that went off to the unseen realm of disembodied spirits is going to be reunited with a new, different, spiritual body that's going to be equipped for eternity. Okay? So the resurrection, dead in Christ will rise first. And then there's also going to be a reunion. Notice the first part of verse 17. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. We're going to meet Him. And not just that, but all of the faithful departed, we're going to meet them as well. We're going to be reunited with them. And just what a precious thought that not only comforted the hearts of these anxious Christians in Thessalonica, that I'm going to see my Christian family once again. Did they miss it? Are they going to miss it? No, Paul's saying. No, they go first. And then we get to meet them in the air with the Lord as well. And there's going to be this great reunion, still a precious thought for us today as Christians, that there's going to be this glorious reunion and also a reward. Look, notice the last part of verse 17. And so we will always be with the Lord, with Jesus. Jesus, the one who came and lived and died and was raised again for us, the great lover of our souls. We get to be with Him forever. And everything in this text, it's leading to this wonderful Christian reward. It's similar to what Paul says over in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14, where he's talking about the resurrection. And after the resurrection is when Jesus will bring us into God's presence, he says there, 2 Corinthians 4, 14. That's the reward, to be with the Lord forever. But we have a responsibility. Don't miss this in verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Listen, all things and all God's people, they are in God's hands. You got nothing to worry about when it comes to your life now or in the hereafter. So strengthen one another. That's the idea of encouragement. Build one another up. Strengthen each other for the glorious work of the church and for all the kingdom work that we need to be busy about. Existence has meaning, and there is ultimate triumph in the Lord. So encourage one another with these. Now, this context spills over into chapter 5, because apparently there were those who were in darkness, that's how Paul talks about them, who were spreading propaganda. And it's propaganda because its source is not ultimately in these people who are in darkness, but rather it comes from the prince of darkness. And so Paul says, listen, don't believe the hype of those who are in darkness. Don't buy into the propaganda. He says in verses 1 and 2 that you have no need for me to write to you anything about the times and the seasons. There's no reason for me to try and date set this thing. Listen, a lot of people have tried to do that. A lot of people have tried. He's coming on this, it was what, December 20-something back in 2012? I don't remember, right? Every attempt has failed up to this point, and they will continue to fail because nobody can put a date on this thing. Jesus Himself told us that no one knows the hour or the day. And He even goes on and He says, look, I'm coming like a thief in the night. The thief doesn't leave you a note on your doorstep saying, hey, get ready because I'm coming at 1:43 a.m. next Tuesday. No, that's absurd. And that's basically the idea here communicated about Jesus coming like a thief. It's totally unexpected. No one's going to know when. But we may not know the exact time or the exact date of His return, but make no mistake, that doesn't mean we don't know that He's coming back, because He is. And we believe that by faith in God's Word. Meanwhile, verse 3, those people who are in darkness, who are out there shouting, peace and security, nothing to worry about, folks. He says sudden destruction's going to come upon them, like labor pains on a pregnant woman. And there will be no escape. There's no escape for those who are in darkness. Those who are running around spreading the propaganda of peace and security, nothing to worry about. No, Paul says, don't believe the hype. Their fate is sudden destruction. And that basically means total loss of life with God. Any chance at it is completely eliminated. And by the way, that life, that's real life. Real, true life. And these folks are going to miss it. And as I mentioned, we talked about this a bit in Bible class. There's no third option here. there's either eternal life or eternal destruction. There's either life with God or the wrath to come. That's it. There's no third alternative, no middle ground here. There's just one or the other, and there's no escaping that either. But these Christians, Paul says in verses 4 and 5, you guys aren't in darkness. You are not of the darkness. There's no darkness in you. To be in darkness, what does that mean? It means that you don't know God. You don't know the atoning sacrifice of Christ. You don't know the blessings and the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be in darkness. And that's darkness. It's marked by ignorance. They maybe don't know. Or they know, but they're indifferent to it, or they're apathetic to it. That's what it means to be in darkness. No knowledge of the holy, no pursuit of the knowledge of the holy. And listen, it's not just people who are uneducated or people who have never seen the inside of a New Testament. There are people who are rather intelligent and very well educated who are still people that are in darkness, that are trapped in spiritual darkness. If they don't know Jesus, they don't know light. And all they know is darkness. But these Christians, again, as Paul is saying, not only them, but us today as well. He says, we are children of light, children of the day. They may not have been the smartest, best educated, but they were the wisest because they had put their faith and their trust in Jesus. They knew God. They knew the atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and they were familiar with the sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit of God. So they were the wisest people of all. They were children of light. So he says, you better not sleep on this. Okay? And sleep, as we saw earlier at the end of chapter 4, we'll see it again in verse 10. Sleep typically in this context has to do with death. Here, though, that's not what Paul is talking about. The sleep that he refers to here is a metaphor for spiritual vitality. Don't sleep on the Lord. Don't sleep on your Christian walk. Rather, he says you need to stay awake. You need to be sober, sober-minded, self-controlled. These are all things that a Christian should be about. Don't get caught up in the nightlife as others do. Rather, he says, get caught up in the day and living for the day. Although that talk there in verse 7 about sleep at night and get drunk at night, that's nightlife stuff. You guys are part of the day, and so live as children of the day. So what do? Verses 8 through the rest of this section here in verse 11, you need to get ready. You need to prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. Well, how do I do that? Well, it's by living as those who belong to the day. Verse 8 says, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet of the hope of salvation. You've got equipment to put on because we are at war. There's a spiritual war going on, and we are soldiers in the world's broad field of battle. So you need to get ready by putting on that armor. That's a favorite figure of Paul. He does it at the end of Ephesians in chapter 6, beginning of verse 10 and following. He also has some other references to it in Romans 13, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 7, also 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 23. Paul liked to use that imagery of armor because it was a good analogy for the fact that we're at war. We're at war with the spiritual forces of darkness. So being in the day means you're going to wage the good warfare against the darkness and for the light. Every person has an eternal destiny. Talked about that a little bit. Paul puts it very plainly here in verses 9 and 10. He says, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Again, just two destinies. There's no third option here. Salvation or wrath. Wrath or salvation. And that's all. But you see here, God at work here. He says, look, wrath, that wasn't designed for you. In fact, we know from Jesus it was designed for the devil and his angels. The tragedy is that many people will not seek the Lord for salvation, and that will be their destined end. But Paul says, no, that's for us, for Christians, that's not the destiny. That's not the destination. The destination is salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of God, to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's what God wants for everyone. It's why He sent Jesus into the world. The invitation is universal for whoever would come and believe and obey the gospel. And God, don't miss this either, God is the one who initiates this. He's the one who sends Jesus. He's the one who is behind all of this so that we might have salvation. So belonging to the day means that we live with the end in mind. Just as belonging to the day means we wage the good warfare against evil, belonging to the day means that we live with the end in mind. And in the last place, living as children of the day means that we live to encourage and edify one another. That's verse 11. Encourage one another, build one another up, just as you are doing. How do you do that? Well, kind of like verse 18 of chapter 4, with these words. With these words of the glorious Christian hope that Jesus is coming back one day. How else? Well, maybe the rest of the book is about this, where he talks about in verses 12 and 13, respecting your leaders. And in verse 13, being at peace with the brethren. Also verse 15, where you seek to do good to everyone. You pray and give thanks always in verses 17 and 18. You abstain from evil in verse 22. And on it goes. Maybe the rest of the book gives us a glimpse into that, but that's a sermon for another time to expand upon. In the meantime, though, the message is clear. You belong to the day. You have this glorious Christian hope, and so live in anticipation of that. Look forward to it, yes, but live in the here and now as people of hope, knowing that Jesus will come again. Some of you may remember the television show Early Edition. It aired in the late 90s. The main character, Gary Hobson, portrayed by Kyle Chandler, and I believe that was the guy who went on to play in Friday Night Lights. This was before that. He's Gary Hobson, and every morning he receives tomorrow's newspaper. He gets the next day edition of the Chicago Sun-Times, and that gives him knowledge of the potential future. And what he does with that knowledge, and as the show goes, he tries to use that knowledge to prevent tragedies from happening, the tragic headlines in the newspaper from tomorrow. He tries to prevent those things as best he can from happening. He tries to change the story text and the headline to reflect the outcome of his actions. And again, it got me thinking, you know, because he had tomorrow's newspaper today, he had information that others didn't have. As Christians, we have an early edition. We have tomorrow's newspaper, if you will. We have information that others, many others, don't have. Most of your coworkers don't have the information. Most of your neighbors don't have the information. Some of your family members don't have the information. But God has given us an early edition of the good news of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us an early edition of the good news that one day Jesus will come back again. And so we can function in the light of what we know about God's plan for the future of children of light. But also don't sleep on this news as others do. In fact, do your best to prevent the tragic outcome that awaits so many people. Be awake. Be sober-minded. Encourage your brethren. Edify the church. Live as children of light. And seek to make a difference in the world. And so we are, brothers and sisters, children of light. So we are. Father, enable us to live lives worthy of this calling. Help us to live lives where we are awake and we are sober-minded and we are self-controlled as we anticipate and wait for our Lord to return from heaven. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.